Skard Rabel was a lanky man of Friaki ancestry, round-cheeked and sallow-skinned, with hair like a sheaf of black wheat and the long, lean muscles of a martial artist. He was seated in Galen's bed, in his locked room. The seals on the door were intact, the lock not obviously picked. Professional pride. "Ben Rabel?" Galen asked. Guinevere's story had checked out, as he had expected it would. She was ferocious when crossed, but magnanimous when she could be. Generous to the best, or those she suspected could be the best. Never one to destroy what could instead serve. Liked kids. Ben rose, and two daggers popped out of nowhere, flying hilts first. Galen snatched them out of the air, unthinking. Ben grinned recklessly.
"The Night Angels favor you," he said.
"Night Angels?" Galen asked. His heart dropped into his guts. The wet boy opened the window, cracking the magical seals Galen had put on them. Skard Rabel said,
"Come, the Devil's Highway awaits. Follow as well as you can. First test."
"I still don't understand what this has to do with the Kakari,"
the little redhead Ivor Vass says. "He is a member of a secret organization called the Society of the Second Sun. They are ostensibly dedicated to studying the Kakari. In truth, they study immortality, which they believe the Kakari gives. They're a loose-knit organization, though, because for all that they hope otherwise, the Kakari-given immortality can't be shared, and most of them suspect as much. The Kakari is what brought me to Cenaria in the first place," I say.
"Looking for one?
Or because the one you already have told you to come?"
I drain another flagon. Ever since I bonded the Kakari, it takes me a lot to get drunk. It wasn't the first time that Galen had traversed the rooftops of a city. Both Rebus Nimble and Dav Slinker had had rocky relationships with the law. But both of those men had lived in cities with more stable construction materials. It was one thing to jump from wattle roof to wattle roof, or from stone to stone. Quite another to jump from slate and bamboo to thatch to crumbling terracotta. Cenaria grew or mined very little of its own resources, so builders used whatever they could get. In cities where you could trust your footing, you could move faster, take great leaps. Here, Galen and Ben Rabel moved at little more than a sprint, jumping lightly and landing lightly. Galen landed on a section of terracotta that crumbled under his feet, rolled, and sprinted on.
"Good!" Ben shouted from a far rooftop. "You pass! Second test!"
Ben crossed his arms over his chest and stepped off the peaked roof he was standing on. Galen leapt across the gap to the roof and ran to the spot where the wet boy had disappeared. There was nothing there. Wind, misting rain. He searched the darkness, muscles tensed, but even his preternatural sight didn't help.
"Here!"
a voice whispered. Galen whipped around, daggers coming out, dropping low. There was nothing where the voice had come from. Something slammed into the back of his knee and swept him off his feet. He fell, tumbling down the steep roof. The daggers went flying as his fingertips fought for purchase on the slate tiles. He fell off the roof. He swung his hands, expecting a gutter, some kind of edge. Nothing. There were only a few decorative dog gargoyles. He reached. Missed. Phantom hands made of pure magic whipped out beyond his own fingers and snagged the gargoyle. He pulled so hard he ripped it right off and threw himself back up and onto the roof. He landed in a fighting stance, a Plangen style, almost ludicrously low, but helpful with the steep pitch of the roof here in case he had to use his hands. But Ben Rabel was standing, arms folded, chuckling.
"Looks like you don't know everything yet, sword swinger."
"You can throw your voice," Galen said. Ben smiled.
"You won't catch me like that again," Galen vowed.
Ben walked over to the edge, looked down at where the dog gargoyle lay shattered far below. A crowd had gathered, alarmed, looking up.
"Enough entertainment for the locals."
"Where'd you pick up this style?" Galen asked, as they sparred the next night. Ben Rabel's style with the staff reminded him of Pearson Jules, one of the last non-crazy Lycanocht underlords. That had been 200 years ago.
"Made it up," Ben said. "My own master only did bladed weapons."
He grabbed a pair of scythes off the wall and slowly faded from sight. "Embracing the shadows," he called it. In bright light, it reduced him to a man-sized smudge of inky blackness, nothing close to invisibility, nothing close to what Galen could do with the aid of his kakari, but on a dark night, it was pretty damn good. He could muffle his steps, too. They trained with every weapon imaginable. Ben was fast, and Galen was a fast learner. Ben was obviously impressed with the warrior, though Galen tried to hide some of his more impressive skills. Ben also mentioned other wet boy skills that he himself didn't practice, and gave Galen an enormous tome of poisons.
"My master had an accident before he could teach me most of this, and I'm a bad reader."
"That's awfully generous."
"Don't worry. I'm charging Guinevere for it."
Ah, Ben couldn't read the coded notations, so the book was worthless to him, but it wasn't the kind of thing you could fence. Who'd buy it? If someone did, they might be your enemy. Far better to charge a friend full price and make it their problem. Clever. Ben wasn't much help with disguises, though, saying with his scars he wasn't going to pass as anything other than himself. He watched Galen shoot the bow, nailing a bull's-eye 10 times in a row from 100 paces. Galen was justly famous for his archery, and said,
"Looks like we won't need to cover that."
Galen couldn't master the art of throwing his voice, though. Ben could mimic voices perfectly as well, something Galen was certain was akin to the more massive sorts of body magic he himself did. Teaching Ben a few of his own tricks would have been only fair, but much as Galen liked Ben, the man was a stone killer. Galen wasn't going to teach a wet boy those abilities. One day, 2 weeks in, they were fighting sickle against chain spear. They'd been working for 10 hours, sweating copiously from the fire they kept going in the room to refill their talents. Ben threw off his tunic, and Galen saw the rest of the man's scars for the first time. The Friaki were much more likely to scar with keloids than people of other nations, their bodies pushing scars outward, giving them a raised appearance. Ben Rabel was covered with self-inflicted keloid scars from his neck to his fingertips.
"I was a Gorathi's son, a prince, if you will. I was kidnapped as a young boy from my clan, a great insult to my father. In Friaku, a son is his father's strength. I was brought here and sold into the death games, where I excelled. When I won my freedom, I went back to Friaku, but my clan had been massacred long ago. No one knew their names. For all I know, the slave traders lied, and I'm just a peasant's son. I'll never know."
The Friaki had a taboo against speaking about the dead. Ben might have spoken to his own uncle, and if he hadn't approached the subject just the right way, the man would have denied knowing anything. Not having been raised there, Ben wouldn't have known.
"What's that one for?" Galen asked.
Most of the scars appeared to be gibberish. Designs, interspersed with guesses at Friaki script. In the center of his chest, though, he had cut a large circle, split halfway by a single line, straight down his sternum. That scar had been cut and recut many times.
"I had a pendant made of 2 iron horseshoe nails. It was taken from me when I came to train for the death games. I cut it into myself so I'd never forget. No one I spoke to in Friaku had seen it before. Have you?"
"No," Galen lied. Ben Rabel was a man cut off from a home he would never know, a man who'd been destroyed while still a child. A man trying to hold on to one small thing, driven near madness, trying to hold on to his Friaki identity, because he sure as hell didn't belong anywhere else. Besides, referents change, especially the reference of universal symbols like lines and circles, and it had been a long time since Galen had lived in Friaku. But the truth was, Galen just didn't have the heart to tell Ben what it really meant.